join us here in Disneyland Paris. We're in the Disneyland Park, and we are going to take you on an audio tour of the Main Street buildings and windows. And we're going to bring you the left side of Main Street this time. And we're going to take you all the way down, starting up at the Town Square, and we're going to take you all the way down to the Central Hub, down by the castle. And you can probably bring this with you to the park, and you can follow it as you go through and look at all of the buildings down Main Street. And we're going to start off here, right by the entrance to the Disneyland Railroad. And obviously with Main Street, it's designed that as you walk down the Main Street and past all of the buildings, that each of the buildings has a date. And as you walk further and further down Main Street towards the castle, that date progressively gets higher and it gets closer to where we are now. But right by the Disneyland Railroad entrance, on the floor there are small plaques, and there's one right in front of me now that says Elias Disney, contractor 1901. Now, Elias Disney was Disney's father. He was, of course, a contractor, did a lot of building, things like that. And this is something that they put into the parks to sort of really... A nod to his father, I suppose, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yeah. I'm just here to sort of ask you questions as you go down.
So we're going to sort of walk down now. We're heading down towards one of my favourite buildings here on Main Street, and that is City Hall. And it's quite an elaborate building, red-bricked. It's got mostly white cladding. You can see right at the very top there is the Main Street clock, and there is sort of gilded eagle. And it also has the date at the top there, which is 1879. Now, it is the Disneyland City Hall. The gold lettering states, like we said, that it's founded in 1871. And we're going to watch the dates as we travel down Main Street. Now, this building is used as guest relations. It's where you can come and get all sorts of things, isn't it?
Your maps, your disability guides, anything you need or any question you need, even your bookings, here's the place.
Yeah, so we come all the way down here. Okay, so we're going to move along a little bit further down Main Street. You can hear the music in the background really does sort of evoke the turn of the century era that Main Street is trying to show. On the left-hand side, just after Disneyland City Hall, you have the Storybook Store. The Storybook Store is said to have been built in 1891. Again, it's red-bricked and it has a grey-stoned edging. Now, this store sells things such as CDs, DVDs and artwork. We're stood here at the moment in front of the windows. We can see pens, all sorts of things within the store that are available for you to buy. Right next to the Storybook Store, we have what is currently the meet and greet area for Mickey Mouse. A very, very popular area. He normally stands up by the small building that you'll be able to see in front of you if you're taking this on the tour. Yellowish looking building, orangey sort of canopies. And right next to that, to the right of that, we have the Liberty Arcade, an indoor walkway. Obviously, the inclement weather we have here at Disneyland Paris allows you to walk inside. And it's at that point that we come to our first set of windows. If we look up now, we can see the windows in front of us, which are Conrad's Seeds and Garden Surprise. Now, Conrad could be one of two people. It's most likely to be named after the American character actor, Michael Conrad, who was part of the team that created the Wonderful World of Color with Walt, as well as many other projects. It could also be related to the novel by Conrad Richer, who wrote the book The Light in the Forest. Now, this book was turned into a live-action Disney movie in 1954. Now, this window actually spreads over several windows. So, we're going to move our way down a little bit. We are looking at the Emporium. We've got the Emporium right in front of us. And we're going to look at what is the next window in front of us. And this window reads the following. It says, Net Gross, Fors Green and Green, Councillors of Investment. And these two people on this window here are John Fors Green and Judson Green. It says, put your money where your mouth is. Now, this window relates to John Fors Green, who was the Vice President Treasurer of Euro Disney between 1986 and 1990. He then became President and Chief Finance Officer from 1990 to 1994 for the opening. Judson Green was President of Walt Disney Attractions from August 91 through to December 1998. He then became the Chairman of the Walt Disney Attractions, the Theme Park and Resort segment of the Walt Disney Company, and from December 1998 until April 2000. So, that is the one part of the Emporium, and we move along a little bit further, and we have number 77, which is one of the doors into the Emporium store itself. And direct directly above, we have a window that is dedicated to the Main Street Fire Department. It has a emblem which has volunteer on it, and it also has Pongo from 101 Dalmatians. So there are again some names on this window. These windows obviously have names on them that are related to people who have either helped Disney in the past or helped to build the park. And here we have Jeff Burton, Tony Cacton, Rick Girdley, Paul LaFrance, David Todd and John Verity, and they're in red. Around the badges, there's also the writing, putting out fires before they start. Now, when I was looking at this, I thought maybe this is something to do with something that may have happened, like a fire that might have happened when they built the park. And that is just, again, just a way of incorporating their names to something on Main Street. Jeff Burton worked for Walt Disney Imagineering as a project manager for around 14 years and was responsible helping to build Epcot Center, Disney MGM Studios, which is now Hollywood Studios, and Disneyland Paris. Tony Cacton seemed to be a bit of a mystery. You know, I couldn't really find much about him when I was looking as to who he could be. So, an interesting guy, Tony Cacton. If you know who he might be, you have any ideas of what his link to Disney or specifically Disneyland Paris is, please, you know, email me at disneybrit@hotmail.com. Ricky Girdley was another member of the production team for the park. He worked on several of the Disney parks, but now works as an executive vice president for Shiloh Consultants. Paul LaFrance was vice president of Walt Disney Imagineering, and during his time with Disney, he headed up the design and construction of Walt Disney Studios in Paris and the construction of Hong Kong Disney. He, of course, was also involved in the planning of the Disneyland Park, and he now works for Cypress Equity. David Todd is the vice president and project manager for Walt Disney Imagineering, and John Verity is the managing director of Walt Disney World. So they are sort of the final windows that we see before we begin to enter onto the main part of Main Street. And this is really the moment, I think, I don't know about you, where you suddenly turn onto Main Street and you can see the castle in front of you.
This is it, isn't it? The big part of sort of opening up now and seeing the whole, you know, as Walt would say, the curtains rising and then the whole thing in front of you.
And we're sort of turning onto Main Street now. Let's walk down the centre of Main Street. Like I say, we are still looking at the left-hand side of the street itself. We're walking down now past the Emporium, and we're coming to the end of the Emporium, which suddenly changes, and it's sort of a stone-clad building. And we have one of the first windows on this side for the Main Street Marching Band, leading the parade since 1884, Michael Eisner and Frank Wells. Well, I think we know who these two people are, who Michael Eisner and Frank Wells are. Michael Eisner was obviously the chairman or the... It was basically in charge of Walt Disney Company at the time this place was built. Obviously, 1884 is there. Interesting date. I suppose it's nearly 1994, isn't it, when the park was opened?
Yeah.
And Frank Wells on there as well. Unfortunately, Frank Wells died a few years after the park was built, but was also quite instrumental in building Disney. Emporium continues down most of the left hand of Main Street. They actually begin to change the facades quite a lot, and we're currently stood outside one that has a fake brownish coloured front door, and it has two gift signs that can be lit up in front, and above it says the sign, read the Main Street Gazette, trusted since 1867. Now, although the Emporium continues and we've got this 1867, the date has already begun to move on. The building presents the date of 1896, as we move on a little bit further down the Emporium. So we can see that the dates are beginning to move along quite nicely. Okay, so we continue down the Emporium. We go past the sort of cream-coloured building that actually has Emporium written above it, lit up. We can see that this building here is dated 1896. So again, we're coming along Main Street. We walk a little bit further down. In front of us here, we have the Bixby Brothers store. It's a store, obviously, for fine tailoring, designed to sell bowlers and bonnets, buckles and buttons, braces and bangles and bow ties. And obviously now sells a range of Disney products, including Disney costumes. We're really now halfway down this left side of Main Street, and as you get to this point, and you can see there's a little alcove, a street that you can turn down. This is Flower Street. Flower Street is, like I say, a small alcove that leads straight through to the Liberty Court area, which is part of Liberty Arcade. You can see in front of you, if you're following this guide down Main Street, there's a Coca-Cola van that's parked in the middle of the street. You're able to go in there and have your photo photos taken. But we're now going to look up at the windows, and here we are in front of Intense Travelling Productions. Eric Van Dyke, Jean-Luc Choplin, Tom Jacobson, the greatest show on earth. And these guys here, who are part of this Intense Productions, Eric Van Dyke was a Disney movie TV editor. We had Jean-Luc Choplin, who was a casting director for the resort. Tom Jacobson, who did costumes. All of these guys were involved in some way in creating the Disney resort. We're going to move to the next window, which talks about a man named Dick Nunes, consultant at large, world-famous psychic, predict your future, know your past. Now, Dick Nunes was around, really, from the concept of Walt Disney World and really worked a lot on Walt Disney World. He was a consultant overseeing a lot of the world-renowned stuff that Walt Disney attractions have done. He held numerous positions, beginning with a summer job at Disneyland in 1955. He then became a trainer of employees in the park and attractions supervisor, operations manager in 1961 before contributing to master planning of Walt Disney World in 1971. In that year, he was appointed executive vice president of Walt Disney Attractions and ensured the supervision of Epcot, Disney MGM Studios, Tokyo Disneyland, and Disneyland Paris. So he had an awful lot to do with this resort here. So we're going to come to the final window down on this building here. And it reads, Attorney at Law, Stephen Judge, Andrew Herbert, Joe Shapiro, Patents, Wills and Claims. This is right just before the Toy Chest building. It's we're still by on the Bixby Brothers, and we've just got Depper Dan's just to our right. Now, Stephen Judge served as Vice President and General Counsel of Disneyland Paris from November 1987 to March 1996. And from April 1996 to January 2000, he served as Senior Vice President and European Legal Counsel of Walt Disney World Europe. From January to October 2000, as Senior Vice President and General Counsel of Walt Disney Europe, Stephen Judge moved to Gem Plus in November 2000 as Executive Vice President General Counsel. Andrew Hibbert was appointed Vice President Legal Affairs, Deputy General Counsel at Euro Disney in 1990, and he now works for Thales, one of the fast trains out here, as Vice President General Counsel. Now, there seems to be a lot less information about Joe Shapiro, but due to the nature of the window, I'm guessing that he's probably going to be part of the legal team here at Euro Disney. Do you think?
You think something else ties into that, doesn't it?
Now, I talked a little bit a second ago that we're on now something called Flower Street. Flower Street is something that actually was given its name due to it's the name of the street that Walt Disney Imagineering is on in Burbank, California. Mm-hmm. So they sort of took that name from that itself. We move a little bit further down, and we can now see in front of us Dapper Dan's. Dapper Dan's is a place you can obviously come and get your hair cut. Above the Dapper Dan's, they have a piano and tap dance school. Now, if you're here and you listen really, really carefully, and there's a lot of noises, you probably can't hear it on the recording, but you can actually hear them practicing both the piano and tap dancing. But here at Dapper Dan's, you can still get a traditional haircut and shave. But here, unlike in Walt Disney World, you need to make sure you book first. We move around, and in front of us now, we can see the Liberty Court. Inside, you can go and see the statue of the introduction of the Statue of Liberty that was a sort of scene that they created here. But we now move to another shop here called Lily's Boutique. Lily's Boutique was named, obviously, after Lillian Disney, who was Walt's wife. Yeah. And the upstairs of Lily Boutique is also used as part of Walt's restaurant, which we'll come to in a few moments. This means that the windows are clear. The clear above, so there's actually nothing on there at all. Now, Lily's Boutique sort of wraps itself around the downstairs of Walt. Obviously, Lily's was named after Walt's wife, Lillian Disney, as we've already said. Although the date of the shop itself states since 1901, although she was actually born in 1899, so it's an interesting date to have on there. I would think that this was probably down to the fact that it's obviously the date we get to as we're walking down Main Street itself. I think this is obviously to show the link with Walt. And as you may have noticed, if you're here, Walt's restaurant and Lily's have appeared in chronological order on Main Street. That Walt was born December the 5th, 1901, and has appeared on the street in place where he was born, right beside Lily. So they're almost sort of like next to each other. Now, Lily's Boutique sells obviously homeware with a Disney twist. We are now back on Main Street. We've walked past Walt's restaurant. And if you're walking down Main Street USA and you take... There's a little alcove just on the left-hand side as you walk down. And it says on the door the following. Open since 1992, Disneyland Park, casting agency. It takes people to make the dream reality. Walter Eliza Disney, founder and director emeritus. So there's another nod here to Walt Disney. It's a door that doesn't seem to work. It's a door that's obviously put there. And it's something that, if you don't see it, it is sort of really well hidden. So we're going to continue our walk down Main Street. We're walking now past the main entrance to Lily's Boutique. Since 1901, it still says on there. And we walk down a little bit further, and we eventually find ourselves outside Disney and Co. Now, Disney and Co. is the place where, really, you come and get your toys here at Euro Disney. And we're going to have a look at what it says on the windows. Now, just above the sort of the covered area of Disney and Co., we can see it says on the building at the top here, R-O-D, building. Building has been hyphened, made shorter, and it's spelled B-L-D-G. And it also has a date there as well. We'll just wait for the Main Street vehicle to go past. And the date is June 24th, 1893, which is interesting to see that this date is actually chronologically out of order with the rest of the street, that it suddenly sort of changes slightly. ROD stands for Roy O. Disney, of course. June 24th, 1893 is...
My birthday.
Your birthday. His birthday. Okay, so we're going to come down a little bit further. And
keep the family weapons then, Walt.
Oh, I think it's to keep the family weapons, yeah, because we have Walt, we have Lily and his wife, and then we have the brother. So it's a tribute to the three of them together there. And then we move past Disney & Co. and we reach Casey's Corner. This is one of my favourite places, definitely, to come and eat. Now, the character of Casey is based on the Disney animated short Casey at the Bat and Casey Bats Again. Now, these short cartoons were based on poems Casey at the Bat by Ernest Lawrence Thayer. Inside Casey's Corner, guests can buy a range of snacks and food items, including the world-famous hot dog. Now, Casey really ends Main Street, and on the left-hand side, it opens up to a nice large area for seating. And it suggests that you turn the corner to an open, like I say, open area. And now, opposite the seating area is a character meet and greet area. And to the front, to the left, is known an unknown covered walkway. A walkway that a lot of people, I think, when they go to Frontierland, don't necessarily look at.
And you need to, like today, in the rain.
Like today, where it's unfortunately raining. It is known as Crockett's Road, and this is also the opposite end of Liberty Arcade. It's where Liberty Arcade ends. The theming does not end with Casey, as there are still two more buildings. There's the Doubleday building, strangely given the date 1888, that has a large sign on the front. It reads, play a better game with all American sporting goods. The blue building has two canopied windows, and the final building before the arcade entrance is the Red Ricked Music Hall, a common building in many towns during the turn of the century. And it is here we find the final two windows on this side of Main Street. So we're going to walk our way around there. We're just walking now past the main door to Casey's itself.
Casey.
We have Casey stood there, and we have the seating area out. Nobody's sitting here at the moment, as unfortunately the rain comes down. But we can now see in front of us, on the left-hand side, we have got the seating area for Casey's, which has the front of the music hall. And we have those final two windows in front of us here. They read the following. J. Norworth and A. Von Tisler, songwriters, take me out to the ball game. Sheet music. Albert Von Tisler and Jack Norworth actually wrote the music and the lyrics to Take Me Out for a Ball Game, which I thought was quite interesting in the fact that they're not actually Disney-related, but the song is obviously related to Casey, so they've put those in. Now, like I say, there is no direct link, but the song is from used in Casey's Corner, and you can hear it as you're walking down Main Street. We stood down in front of the other end of the Liberty Arcade, and we can see Crockett's Road on our right-hand side. And there are two smaller buildings. You're not able to access them. But the first one reads the Crystal Ice Company, and the other one is Savings and Loans. And then if you look to the right-hand side, there is a sign-up that says John Mirabel and Co., importers and purveyors of the finest potatoes and comestibles. And it's interesting that this sign here is starting to look a little Frontier-like. So it begins to link both Main Street USA and Frontierland together. Obviously, Another sign in front of us as well, there's Dr. Beardsley's Camel Hair Health Underwear. Again, it's got that sort of Main Street cross Frontierland feel to it. And that really is where, until you go sort of walk down now into the central hub to the castle itself, is where the main interest on Main Street ends. We are this time going to take you down the right-hand side of Main Street. Now, if you're following this audio guide as you're in the park, then you're going to be able to be stood right in front of the Main Street Transportation Company at this point, sort of just up from the exit to the Disneyland Railroad. And here we have, of course, the Main Street Transportation Centre, the centre where most of the vehicles would have been kept. Titled is 1883. Now, the Main Street Transportation Building is the first building you pass on the right of Town Square and houses many of the transportation found travelling down Main Street. There's a red-bricked building with large wooden doors, and the main transportation sign is grey with these sort of brown lettering on. The plaque, like I already said, says 1883, as it's supposed to be its year of construction. It is number 24 on Main Street, and this actually has no windows that have any sort of writing or anything on there. So, sort of a small window on the left-hand side and another one on the right-hand side. But to the left of the Main Street Transportation Company is a green staircase. And this staircase, you're not able to climb, unfortunately. There's a gate in front that stops you from doing so. But it takes you upstairs to Dr. Bitts Dental School. So it's the place where Dr. Bitts has three windows. And this is above another Bixby Brothers store. And the three windows read the following: Dentist in Training, licensed to use Laughing Gas, J. Burke, T. Delaney, T. Morris, E. Soto, and C. Tietz. Our business is making you smile. Middle window has a large open mouth. It has like, it's almost a logo bitten in between the teeth. And one of the top teeth is gold. And on the right-hand side, we have E.S. Bitts DDS, School of Dentistry, fully licensed, 1859. 9 out of 10 patients go to Bitts. I sort of quite like that idea. Now, Dr. Bitts was a character created for the purpose of the dentist, and it's not related to Disney anyway. It's just to help get across these five names. Now, the middle window, as we said, has this drawn mouth. It doesn't have anything else on there, but the names we're looking for are the ones on the left-hand side. Now, Jay Burke is Jeff Burke. He's the Frontierland show producer, and each of these names are actually related to a producer for each of the lands. He's a Frontierland show producer, and we don't mean shows as in, the things that you're able to go and see in the park. We're talking about what you can see on stage, as Disney call it. He also worked as art director of the Haunted Mansion and contributed to the Enchanted Tiki Room. He was jointly responsible for America Sings at Disneyland with the Imagineering legend Mark Davis. Tim Delaney is the Discoveryland show producer. He and other Imagineers are responsible for the look of the land. Delaney joined the Disney back in 1976 and has also worked on the Living Seas in Epcot and Disney's California Adventure. Tom Morris was the Fantasyland show producer, and he was responsible, obviously, for the creation of Fantasyland, was also the designer of Sleeping Beauty's castle. He was Tony Baxter's assistant for the 1983 reworking of Disney's Fantasyland, so he had some sort of expertise in it already. Eddie Soto, Main Street show producer, where we're standing. He originally wanted Main Street to be set in the 1920s, and this was the inspiration for the turn-of-the-century America idea that we got. They wanted to originally try and update Main Street here and have it as a slightly more modern version compared to what you would find in other places, but they decided that actually they would do it as you would find in other parks. He's also the voice of the dentist and the patient you can hear. If you listen really carefully, you can hear the sound. It was actually one of the windows at the bottom half of the one with the teeth is actually missing, so you can hear the sound coming through the speakers. The last person, Chris Tietz, was the Adventureland show producer. He was instrumental in the Disneyland Paris Adventureland because he felt, along with Mark Davis, that Europeans needed a bigger, different kind of Adventureland, and this is exactly what he got. And obviously we've talked about in the past that Adventureland has not quite been what we thought it would have been, but you know, he had a lot of ideas that didn't necessarily make it. We're moving along to Ribbons and Bows Hat Shop. And above the Ribbons and Bows Hat Shop, there is another window, and it reads the following: Pie Wacket Cruise Liners. For a day you will treasure, book a cruise that's a pleasure. Captain Roy E. Disney. Now, this window pays tribute to Walt's nephew, Roy E. Disney. And in the nautical community, Roy Disney is well known for his sailing achievements. Competing in the Trans-Pacific Yacht Race, the Transpac, he has only missed one race in 30 years. And that was in 1997 because his leg was broken from a car crash. Now, in 1999, Roy set sail in the Transpac, Los Angeles to Honolulu, it is. And this time, he was on a mission. And the previous race in 1997, he had been won by his son. And his son managed to knock nearly a day off the race, which was supposed to be 8.5-day challenge. Now, amazingly, Roy this time manages to beat his son's record by over 3 hours, claiming the winning position and the trophy. So, going back to the window, you can see where the connection is between Roy and his boats. The name Pywacket, this is the name of his trophy-winning yacht. Now, the second window above the shop reads, Dengelman, Janier and Cannelly, efficiency experts. Thor Dengelman, Pierre Janier and David Cannelly, are you reading this fast enough? Now, Thor Dengelman was the Disney Company's Human Resources Director of Overseas Parks. He has since become CEO of Ledo International. And Pierre Janier was the Vice President of Human Resources at the time. David Cannelly was the manager of the World Showcase Fellowship Program at Walt Disney World between 1974 and 1985. He then became Director of the Disney University Euro Disney from 1989 to 1993. So they are the characters there. Now, there's one building on Main Street that has absolutely no purpose whatsoever, and this is the only building on Main Street that has that. And it's right round. If you sort of, you've walked down Main Street, you take a left, right round, on the wall you'll see Dr. Johnson's Pink Pills for Pale People. And in front of us we have a store known as Kitty Hawk's Bicycle Shop. And Kitty Hawk's Bicycle Shop actually has never had any use for it whatsoever. It is just a fronted store. Now, why Kitty Hawk? Well, it appears, from what I've been looking at, that Disney did use a naval aircraft carrier during the filming of Lieutenant Robinson Crusoe, USN. And this naval aircraft carrier they used actually had exactly the same name. It had Kitty Hawk. They spent 5 days aboard the ship in July 1965. So the Kitty Hawk bicycle shop, you can actually go up and look into the window because the blinds are up slightly. But if you look inside, it really is. There's just a big black piece of wood behind it, and there really is nothing there at all. Okay, we're turning round, and we can see right in front of us the Discovery Arcade. To the right of that, the Tasker skating shoe sent to any part of the United States for $3, manufactured by H&F H. Tasker, 991 and 993 Fulton Street, so obviously for something somewhere else. We're now standing in front of the George Eastman Photographic Studio, and the sign here says George Eastman Photographic Studio, photographic marvels for a new century. Now, this man here, he actually is George Eastman, who was the man who created the first camera, and it was introduced to the world in 1888. Now, the three decorated windows have no link to any Disney employees or workers, but the first window on the left reads portraits by M.A., portrait to share. Second window, weddings and graduations. And so those windows are there really just as an advertisement rather than as anything else. So we're walking on along a little bit further. Obviously, Kodak have quite a big presence on the photographic studio. And we're now really walking onto the main part of Main Street. But just before we get there, we're going to stop at the Town Square Photography. We have a name up the top here on the building, 1885. We have surgical practical Dr. Jim Cora. Our operations will keep you in stitches. Now, James Jim Cora is awarded the profession of surgeon. Now, like Dick Nunes, Cora joined Disney as a simple cast member in 1957. He then climbed the steps of the company through meetings with Walt Disney in Disneyland and was appointed to the head of the Disney University, training service employees at Disneyland as Disney's parks. He then joined the leadership of Walt Disney Attractions with the task of improving operation procedures at both Disneyland and the Magic Kingdom, and was appointed Chief Operating Officer during the construction of Tokyo Disneyland, as well as Vice President of the Japanese subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company until the opening of the park. In 1985, he was associated with the project of Euro Disneyland, and then in 1985, he was active management at the park. In 1995, he was appointed President of Walt Disney International, responsible for the development of Tokyo Disney Sea. We're gonna make our way now around the corner on onto the main part of Main Street itself. Once again, I think I'm just about to be run over by a Main Street bus, so I'm just going to move myself out of the way. But as we get to the actual corner, as we're just about to turn onto Main Street, again, there's another little sort of plaque built into the floor with Elias Disney Contractor 1901. So again, another nod to Walt Disney's father down on the floor. Main Street number 14 bus just coming past us as we speak. And we're coming around the corner and we're getting to the Boardwalk Candy Company. Building is purple and green, and there is the date of 1888, and it's the Till You building up at the top. Now, the first sort of, I suppose it's almost like a tower-like building because it's quite thin. So the next part of the Candy Palace is lighter green, and it has three sets of elongated windows. The first window has the following written on it: Big Deal, General Supplies, Paul Moulet, Herb Shelley. If we don't have it, neither do you. Paul Malley was a buyer for the Disney Company, and obviously if he didn't buy those things, then it's exactly right. He wouldn't have had those things. It's fairly safe to assume that Herb was also the same sort of person. Herb, again, there's very little we've found about him. Then we get to an interesting thought that actually Walt Disney and Roy Disney don't appear until this middle window. I thought it'd be we might have seen them before here, but they appear in this middle window here. It says, Two Brothers Incorporated, Dreams and Doers, If We Can Dream It, We Can Do It. Roy O. Disney and Walt E. Disney, founder and partners. Now, I think this window needs very, very little explanation. Yeah. Walt and his brother obviously founded and were partners in the original Disney Company way, way back when they even started the first Disney Studios. They created Disneyland together and then begun plans for Walt Disney World, and obviously Walt died at the time of it being created. And they are supposed to be this idea of, again, the opening credits to the show, and you're about to experience the closing credits as you leave at the end of the day. So it's that idea there. So we're moving down a little bit further. We get to it's a strange sort of building, and it has a little bit of a canopy, and it has a red bricked area, and this is the Disney Clothiers Company. The shop has a large green sign in front, and due to its size and this canopy, there again are no windows over the top, unfortunately. But we're going to move ourselves down that a little bit further. Okay, here it is. It reads, Town Square Taxidermy, Sam Hutchins, Claude Rains, If It's Stuffed, We Sell It. Now, Sam Hutchins was the director of merchandising for the opening of Euro Disney, along with Claude Rains, who was also a member of the Disney marketing team. And we're now at number 210 Main Street, which is the home of the Main Street Motors. Now, the store mostly sells adult clothing and is on the corner of Main Street and Market Street, which we're going to explore in a second. An old gas pump stands outside the shop, giving it a feel of an old turn-of-the-century garage. Now, there are no windows at the top of the Main Street side of the building, but there are large wooden billboards advertising certain things. Nescafe, Rich and Satisfying, Visit the Coffee Grinder, which is for the building that's coming around in a second. But there is actually sort of like a 3D coffee cup on there. And if you watch really, really carefully, you can see that this coffee cup does actually occasionally let out steam. As we're about to turn around, we're about to sort of take a left turn round to Market Street itself. And there's another billboard on the corner of the Main Street Motors. And it is a Coca-Cola advertisement. It says, drink Coca-Cola, delicious and refreshing. The hit that saves the day. In bottles, 5 cents. We define them on that. If the bottles are 5 cents, they're charging much more. It's again got a baseball player on it. His hat has a C on the front. Of course, then linking itself to Casey's, which is just around the corner on the other side. We have the Gibson Girls Ice Cream Parlour serving ice cream at 400 Main Street, which we come to a little bit further down the road. And they have got a Ben & Jerry sign on that, which actually, as much as that's a modern sign, it fits in quite nicely with exactly what's going on. So we're now in the alcove on the right, which is currently full of tables. This is Market Street. Now, having turned into Market Street, an elongated brick building is seen to us for Main Street Motors. It is also, that I say, the side of Main Street Motors, but we have lots of other small buildings here as well. Now, the Main Street Motors sign here reads, drive into the 20th century, the safest, fastest and finest cars in America are at the Main Street Motors. Now, there's two windows with dark blue canopies just slightly further along that are decorated with the following words. the Third Eye Detective Agency, John Larson, Gerard Degons, I think his name is. Now, Gerard was the financial vice president at Disneyland Paris until 2000. And John Larson seems to be, he was a film show director that has done some work within Epcot. But I was unable again to find a link for him within Disneyland Paris. Maybe he did something along the way and was obviously given that. Yeah, tribute to him. We're moving down here past Main Street Motors and we're coming past a little alcove. We've got another advert for Disney Clothiers. We've got the Main Street Marketplace entrance this time that takes us into the opposite side, the opposite arcade down here. We've also got some nice little features that, again, don't necessarily do a huge amount, but adds to the atmosphere. We have the Main Street Laundry, which is the Mr. Lucky Tailor Shop. It's Mahjong Parlour upstairs. I don't think we need to say any more about that one. So we're now coming past the arcade, and there's a small building here which in the summer sells things like drinks and pastries, things like that. But we do have Bueller's Boarding House. We're now stood in front of Bueller's Boarding House, which is 1221 Market Street. And the boarding house has several names on them of people who are obviously staying in the boarding house itself. In room number one, we've got W. Winfield, who we think is linked to a writer for the Walt Disney Studios. His son, Jess Winfield, worked for Disney until 2005. In room two, we have W.M. Bobbin. We're unsure as to this person. We think that he is somebody from Walt's childhood. In three, we have N. Bly. And this is a nod to Nellie Bly, who travelled around the world in 72 days. And maybe she was staying here on her travels. In room number four, we have H.M. Sanders. Now, creating imaginary experiences through artistic venues, K.C. Sanders was working within the Disney Fine Art and started as a young child and has grown with the Disney Company ever since. K.C. would visit the Disneyland resorts every year with his family while growing up in Ogden, Utah. He thrilled in the magic that the Walt Disney Imagineers created for him and millions around the world. Does H.M. also stand for Haunted Mansion? So, number five, then, we have A.P. Goddy. He is possibly the name of a comic novel writer, and Disney turned to his novel, The Reluctant Assassin, and turned it into a film called Never a Dull Moment in 1968. Now, room number six is vacant. Room number seven is Harmony Bob. And I believe this could be Bob Disney, and it could also be another Bob as well, which I'll come to in a second. But this Bob Disney is a man who was a singer-songwriter for barbershop quartets. But it could also be linked to Bob Disney becoming Robert Disney, which is Walt's uncle, who kept the peace during the time of Walt and Roy starting out in Hollywood. Number eight, we have J. Junkmeyer. The name brings up, again, very few results, but it seems that the name originates in Germany. It could actually be somebody related to Walt Disney's time at war in France when he may have worked with others. R. Sherwood, MD. Now, Walt Disney developed his love of drawing as a child with one of his neighbours, a retired doctor named Doc Sherwood, and he paid him to draw pictures, and he was one of the first people to pay him, along with another Sherwood, who also paid him, who was a hairdresser. So I think that's sort of a nod to those people way back. So we are going to sort of move away from that door, and we are moving around slightly. We can see now the coffee grinder in front of us. This is to the right of the boarding house, and above the coffee grinder window is the TNT Talent Agency. Again, no name associated, but you can hear the sounds of rehearsals going on if you listen really carefully. It's when it is open, it opens and sells drinks and snacks. We come to the Ice Cream Company next, which is here. Again, this only has one decorative window, which is to do with corsets, but it doesn't have anybody's name really related within Disney. It's just another nice window to have there. The windows, obviously, now we go past the Market House Deli, and this is going to take us back round to the main part of Main Street. Now, going round back to the main part of Main Street, the windows again become more prominent, and they include some famous figures from the world of Disney. The first on the deli reads, Nellie Bly Travel Agency, Rail, Land, Sea, Book Passage Around the World. The next is a double window. It reads, Doctor Office Robert Sherwood, MD, General Medicine and Surgery. This links, obviously, to the room taken up by R. Sherwood at Bueller's Boarding House. He's obviously living just round the corner. Window reads, Business Office, Carolwood Pacific, Fairweather Route, the biggest little railroad in the world, the Carolwood Pacific. This was linked to Walt Disney having his love for trains, and he built a train in his back garden and he called it the Carol Woods Pacific, so that links to that. The Nellie Bly, again, linked to somebody else who was staying over at Beulah's boarding house, somebody who travelled again around the world in 72 days. As we enter back onto Main Street, we again are seeing some more interesting looking windows. We can see in front of us the building for Harrington's Porcelain, and above it on the, sort of the right hand part of that is the Main Street Gazette, which again has three windows attached to it. Here are the windows as follows. We demonstrate the highest regard for truth in advertising, honesty, Mark Ferry and Ron Colan. Now, Mark Ferry was Vice President of Marketing at Disneyland Paris's opening. Ron Colan was Senior Vice President of International Theatrical Productions at the Walt Disney Company. Now, the next window down reads, Main Street Gazette advertises welcome publicity experts at your service, Jean-Marie Gabou and Tom Elrod. Now, Jean-Marie was a Communications Vice President for Euro Disney, and Tom Elrod was President of Marketing and Entertainment for the Walt Disney Company. And the final one. The final window reads, Main Street Gazette, since 1867, we print the news before it happens. Marty Sklar and Tony Baxter. Now, these two names are probably very well known to those of you who may be listening over in the States, or who those of you who visit Walt Disney World. Now, Tony Baxter, I can say, and Marty Sklar are two of the most influential, I think, Imagineers. Both Imagineers played major roles in the development of the park. So, we're going past Harrington's Porcelains. Again, it has nice big window. Nothing written on that window, though. But we're now moving to the cable car bake shop. There are two windows above the red bricked bake shop. The first reads, Chastain Design Company of Glendale Budgeting and Scheduling. Now, the Chastain building was built at the Glendale site in California, and it was originally the home of the Walt Disney Imagineers, but it's now used by Pixar. They are said to be making Toy Story 3 there. Now, the second window has the following. Mrs. Twiddle's Secretarial Services. And again, this is just a name that's been created specifically for the park, but doesn't necessarily have anything at all related to it other than that there. We move along a little bit further, and we have some more windows above the bake shop. The Main Street School of Charm window can be seen above the cable car bake shop, and it reads the following. Main Street School of Charm, instructor Steve Llewellyn, Hanny Verma, Malcolm Ross, will make your guests feel like magic. Now, Steve Llewellyn earned increasingly important roles as Vice President in charge of operations for Disney's International Theme Park Division. Hanny Verma was part of the operations team, and Malcolm Ross was a Vice President of Euro Disney. Now, the next window along, this is the final window, which gives a nod to people. It says the following. Society of Arts craftsmen Ron Esposito, Skip Lang and John Olsen will make your molehill into a mountain. Now, Ron Esposito was the Imagineer in charge of colour theming. He obviously was the man who obviously had a lot to do with creating the colour for Thunderbolt Mountain, things like that. Skip Lang was a ride, show and attraction design, and John Olsen made scale models for the park. So the three people, obviously it says we can make a molehill into a mountain. Links nicely to Thunderbolt Mountain, to Space Mountain, to all of those things. So we're walking down now Main Street. We're really coming against the point where it all opens out. If we turn ourselves to the right, we're coming down past Victoria's Homestyle Restaurant. Now, you can see ahead of me now the Main Street Tips Board, which is there, and the Plaza Gardens, which is down here, is on the right. Now, if we walk through the gardens, which we're going to do in a second, of this outside the Plaza Restaurant, this has a specific area and a specific name. It is known as Edison Avenue. Now, Edison Avenue obviously links to Charles Edison, electric lights are now here, so it all links in really nicely. But it actually starts off from Edison Street, or Edison Square, sorry, which was originally going to be built in Disneyland's Main Street. Edison Square was going to be sort of an offshoot of Disneyland's Main Street that was never built. So really they took the name of Edison Square, turned it into Edison Avenue, and turned it into a street here through Disneyland Paris's Main Street. Well, there we go. That is your tour of the right-hand side of Main Street here in Disneyland Paris. Hopefully you've learned a little bit more. Hopefully you might decide to bring these with you to the park and explore them a little bit more.